Yes, it's that time again. Doors to the Copilot are now open. The Copilot is my signature program where I help expats at crossroads to transform their constant overthinking about the future into clear, confident decisions that actually move their global life forward. This isn't just about finding clarity and knowing what to do. This is also really about taking action and creating momentum. The Copilot is the only room dedicated for expats at crossroads, and so you will also find your tribe of like-minded people. It is absolutely the community that you didn't know you needed. Or as one participant said, the juice was all in the group. I would love for you to join as well. Doors are now open until February 17th when we start with our first call. Take a look at the link in the show notes to find all the information that you need to join today. Hello, and live from Mexico City, I have made it to the final part of my 3-month workation in the Americas. And yesterday evening, I arrived in Mexico City. I've had a couple of hours here now this morning, wandering around, drinking coffee, doing some reflection. And so far, I am loving the city already. And I thought, with the new year coming up, 2026 is almost happening. We're currently in this void between Christmas and New Year's Eve. What day is it? I thought, let me come back on the podcast because this is such a powerful time to do some reflection and to look forward to the new year, something I'm doing myself as well. And last year, I hosted 2 podcast episodes with reflection questions on 2024 and questions to start dreaming about 2025. And I thought, let's do it again, because it was a popular, there were two popular episodes, and people already asking me about it, if I was going to do it again this year. So I thought, yes, let's do it. So I'm here sitting in my new Airbnb. I'm staying here for 2 weeks. I'm looking at myself in the camera and I do see I'm a little bit tired. It's been quite an intense time. Let me just give you an update on that before I dive into the questions. So exactly 3 weeks ago, I left The Hague, the Netherlands, to start my 3-month vacation here in the Americas. First, I had a business event of my business mentor, the event I always go to every year in December. Well, this was my 3rd time. And I went there with my friends and I had such an amazing time. It was so good connecting to everyone again, meeting new people, getting super, super inspired. I've got lots of ideas about how I can better serve you, how I can connect more people into my world and create a bigger movement. And I really can't wait for all the ideas to materialize next year. I also, you know, spoke with some of the other coaches that were there one-on-one on specific things that I was navigating in my coaching practice. And that was also really, really helpful. So that was a really nice one. And then with that inspiration and motivation and excitement, my two business besties and I went to Sedona, where we spent 2 days together. And we were just in the hot tub, you know, talking about our life and where we want to go to professionally and personally. We went to beautiful hikes in vortexes in Sedona. It's a spiritual place. And it was very, very good to have like a post-event time with them to really integrate what we were all learning about, what we were being inspired with, and the energy that just was flowing through us. It was really valuable to have that integration time with them and to discuss our ideas a little bit more. Also because each of us, we have our own, you know, pitfalls and qualities and things that you know, are typically us. And we know that about each other. And so it was really helpful to guide each other, knowing those things about each other as well. So that was really nice. And then I spent 5 days on my own in Sedona. So maybe you already know I'm an ambivert. I'm not an introvert. I'm not an extrovert. I'm somewhere in between. And I do like to hang out with groups, and especially with my friends, with friends that I feel like I can be myself with. That feels recharging to me. But I also need my own time to recharge again, especially after a big event with 1,000 entrepreneurs and sharing an hotel room and being 24/7 with other people. So I had 5 days on my own. I didn't see anyone. The only people I spoke with were the barista, who knew my oatmeal cappuccino order after day 1, and occasionally someone I saw on a hike or something. All the rest of the time I was by myself. Every morning I woke up around 6:30, went outside. It was like 5-6 degrees outside, pitch dark, drove somewhere just to watch the sunrise. If you follow me on Instagram, you've seen these sunrises on my feed and on my stories, and I really, really enjoyed it because it felt so magical. Then I did a bit of work. You know, I had some client work that I had to get back to, and I was really excited about also, just before Christmas. And I created the space, my do-it-yourself solo retreat for expats, ending the year and starting a new one with excitement, confidence, and clarity. I loved creating it at that time because simultaneously I was doing my own solo retreat. So you may know that every December, this was the sixth year in a row, I have my own little solo retreat. Usually I try to book a cabin or I go somewhere. Sometimes I just do it at home depending on my holidays. But what I always do is that I take a couple of days to do like a proper, thorough reflection of the last year. And I set the vision for the next year. And these questions that I'm going to share with you in this and the next episode are going to be helpful with this as well. But this is my whole process of, and it's not just reflection questions answering. It's, you know, I do certain exercises and I get in the right energy and I energetically let go of a few things that were holding me back. And I step into the identity of who I want to become next year. And I do this every year. And it has really, really helped me. It has been key, I have to say, to make big changes year after year. And the first time I was doing it, I remember writing down for the next year, which was going to be 2020, I'll be a homeowner. And I had never been a homeowner until that time. And I wrote something down about creating a home in The Hague, etc. And, you know, I did that. And then later, I had this goal of quitting my job and starting my own coaching practice, which I also did. And this was a huge identity shift for me, coming, you know, from being a diplomat to being an entrepreneur, from being in the background to being super visible online. These were like some big identity shifts. And really this solo retreat that I always do in December has been essential in it, because it provided me year after year with the foundation to stay close to my goals, to not only be like, oh yeah, this year I want to run a marathon, or I want to have this, or I want to do that. It's really from a place of vision setting where I want to go to and stepping into the identity of someone who can make that vision a reality. And doing it so thoroughly each December, really taking my time for it and really allowing myself to get into that energy, sets me up for the success throughout the year, because I also create a document that I go back to again and again throughout the year. And there are certain practices that help me stay on that path, because life happens, you know, and we have setbacks. So anyway, long story short, or just long story long, whatever. I had my solo retreat in Sedona, a part of it. I wasn't done at the end because I was also creating the space, now also transferring the exact same tools and approaches that I use for my own solo retreat to other expats. These are expats who are growth oriented and who want to be mindful and intentional about the next year, and that they really want to make a difference, a change next year. And they want to avoid that all the years turn into one big blur. You know, year after year, it can merge into this longer period. And they really want to make this year count. The space is for those kind of expats. And so in Sedona, I was also creating it, recording super powerful audios, new audios actually that I'd never shared with anyone before. I added some new exercises in it that I had only tested with the people inside the first round of the Copilot and inside my now paused membership. So there's lots of new stuff there. And yeah, I was just so excited about it. So every day I was doing the sunrise, I did some client work, some creation work, and then I went on a hike in the afternoon. I hiked so much, and I just felt so, so incredibly good. And people on Instagram saw my stories and they commented saying like, wow, you look different. There's a different look in your eyes. Your eyes are glowing. You look so happy. And I thought, yeah, I am, because I just had the most transformational event, integrated that with my friends, really felt like a energetic identity shift was happening, something that had already started a couple of weeks ago, by making a big decision. And I really felt it, the energetic shift was happening as I was there. And also I was just in a lot of space. This is why I like Arizona so much. There is so much space there. And having that external space really gives me the internal space to come back to myself, to step into my power, to be the most aligned state of myself, aligned with the vision I have for my life. And I think that was reflected in how I looked in my eyes, and people saw that. So that was very nice to hear. And then after 5 days of seeing nobody, I went to El Salvador. That was part two of my workation. I went there because two good friends of mine were getting married. And the bride is a friend I met in Brasilia as a diplomat. I had an amazing group of friends, Latina friends. They were really good friends, and the bride met a Dutch guy, and we were all traveling to Pipa around New Year's Eve on a really nice beach in Brazil. And this is the first time that I met him, and I think that was the third time that they saw each other. And I told them, you're going to get married and I'll be at your wedding. And so that happened. They had a wedding. I was the first one to say, I'm coming. I thought it fits in also perfectly with, you know, Arizona and going to Mexico. So this is why I created the whole 3 month workation through the Americas. But we had an amazing time in El Salvador. And I remember getting on the plane from Arizona, or actually driving from Sedona to Phoenix. And I thought, oh, I don't want to go. I'm so happy here in cowboy land, being by myself, having all this space, being in the US, the desert. I love being here and I'm not ready to leave it yet. So I was a bit like reluctant, I have to say, or apprehensive. But the moment I got on the plane and I landed and we went to the next day to the beach area where the wedding was going to be, I was like, okay, this is amazing too. So we had the wedding. All the other girls flew in as well. Our gang was complete again. It was like 5 years had never happened. I had seen each of the girls in those 5 years since we all left Brazil, but we hadn't been all together. And so, you know, having our group complete, it meant so much to me. And I bet you notice as well that if you live abroad, your friendships go much deeper and much quicker as well. They're just much more intensive. And it's also really nice that you may not see each other for 1, 2, 3 years, maybe not even have that much contact. But then when you still see each other, or when you see each other again, it's like time never, you know, paused. And it's just like back to what it was. And I really think it's because when you live abroad, you have to deal with so many basic things and figuring things out. And if personal things happen, you don't have your inner circle to rely on. So you rely more on these people around you. And so the friendships go much deeper because you navigate so much together. Let me know if you know what I mean. So anyway, that was El Salvador. Wedding was incredible, super nice. And then I stayed a little bit longer because I didn't want to travel there just for a couple of days. And I also knew it will be Christmas after the wedding. And Christmas is a triggering time for me. I love Christmas, but it's always been difficult. First with difficult family dynamics, you know, I'm not going to go into that, but difficult family dynamics. Then also being single, both my parents having passed away. It's every year I'm wondering, what am I going to do this year with Christmas? Where am I going to celebrate it? And so I thought, okay, let me secure that already. Let me lock that in and I'll celebrate it with my friends and their families. And here's a little story that I want to share with you as well, because after the wedding, I had spent a couple days with a lot of people, zero time for myself, sharing rooms with the girls. And then I looked ahead and I thought, wow, we're going to climb a volcano. We're going to go do this. We're going to go there. There will be Christmas with more people. And I thought, wow, I have to, quote unquote, spend 24/7 with people I don't really know that well. Because one by one, my friends were leaving and I didn't really know the families that well. And as this ambivert that I am, I thought, wow, it felt heavy to me. And it felt like I had zero space for myself. And I was like, how am I going to do this? I really feel like this is a tough thing for me. And what was also going on is that at some point I felt pressure to work again, because obviously I've been traveling for over 2 weeks already, meeting with some of my clients online, but not really selling anything new, and therefore also not making that much money. And I knew this, I had calculated this in, but at the time that I was traveling, it all of a sudden hit me like, oh my God, like all of a sudden I felt the pressure. I need to perform. I need to work hard. This is my addiction to struggle that came up. Struggle and hard work. And I just, you know, I also had a lot of inspiration from the live event and from being with my business friends. And so I was like, all that energy had to go somewhere, but I had no time, no headspace, no quiet moments by myself to actually go do something with all that inspiration and with that pressure. So I felt like it was stuck inside of me. It's hard to describe it. And when I was thinking about the days ahead, I really felt like, wow, I felt such a resistance. And this came up the day after the wedding, when I was nursing my hangover, which is not the best time to be thinking about these things. So I recognized like, okay, it's just my physical state also that is influencing how I'm feeling. But I just felt very like, oh, I don't know. And I really tried to be like, Amanda, rest. You've planned this. You know it's okay. You know, you knew in advance you weren't going to be working. Your ideas will stay with you. You don't have to execute them right away. It's okay. And rationally, I could tell myself that, but I couldn't really feel it and feel really relaxed. It was a bit hard for me that day. Then the next day, when I went to bed, I already told my friends, I'm not feeling well. I don't think I'm gonna have a good night. And it turned out to be true. And I caught some kind of bug, stomach bug. I'm not quite sure what it was. And the next morning I woke up and I said, as much as I'd love to go volcano climbing, I need to listen to my body, and I'm not going to come. I'm going to stay here. And I did. I spent the morning by myself, actually the whole day, and I had to go to another hotel where we were going to. And I was struggling so much. I had to carry my suitcase for 2 minutes, and I was just like, I cannot. My energy is gone. I was really, really struggling that day and just feeling like shit, if I'm honest. And still, there was this internal noise, chaos, pressure. I need to do something. I need to do something. It just kept going. I still couldn't fully relax, even being ill. Oh gosh, I'm looking at the time, and long story long. I'm so sorry. And then the next day, I woke up. Actually, by that evening, I felt a lot better. And the next day, I woke up feeling pretty okay, pretty good again. And I woke up to a text that someone sent to me. And it was a text that triggered some emotions. Now, this was a situation that I've been in quite a few times in the past. And in the past, it would trigger something else, different emotions, certain beliefs that kept coming up. This time, I noticed it triggered another emotion. And it didn't trigger those old beliefs. So this was a huge win for me. I'm like, yes, I made progress. I did inner work on this, and now I can reap the rewards of it. But I still felt this anger, if I'm honest. And I couldn't really think clearly on how to respond. And I was also carrying all that weight from the previous days. So I was like, let me go take a dip in the ocean, cleanse myself energetically, and just have some headspace again. Because every day it was just noise in my head, and I really was longing for clear headspace, clean energy, and the ocean to me really does that. So in the morning, I walked to the beach, and I was looking for a place to enter the ocean. The waves were quite big, but there were some rocks beforehand. And I got in, and I remember thinking, oh, there are a lot of rocks here. It looks a little bit less over there, but there were a lot of people over there, and I couldn't really be bothered with other people's energy. So I thought, let me just go here. I'm not going to swim anyway. I just want to, you know, splash some water on my body, whatever. And I remember going in, and I thought, yeah, okay, maybe this is as far as I want to go. And then this guy from the beach was summoning me to go to the other side because he was taking a photo of someone. I was like, dude, leave me. But at some point I thought, okay, let me go back and give him his photo. And as I walked back, I remember, oh, I need to be careful because there are a lot of rocks here. And then for one moment, I didn't look properly in front of me. and I stood on this really slippery rock and I kind of fell and I hurt my toe against it. And I remember thinking, oh no, there goes my fresh nail polish that I had just done a couple days ago. And I get my foot out of the water. I'm sorry for the details, but I see my nail standing 90 degrees up. I'm like, fuck. So I rush back to the hotel. I make my bloody painful way to the hotel. No one's in the lobby. I then run to the breakfast area where I had seen a boy before because I asked him about breakfast. And I rush in there and I said, ayúdame. In Spanish, I need help. And he says, no worries. I'm a paramédico. I'm like medically trained. And he really took proper care of it. And it was so painful. Actually, it was okay, but it was not the nicest thing. And I go back to my hotel room with bandage around my toe. And I'm like, Amanda, what is this meaning? What is the universe trying to tell me? Because the fact that I want to go somewhere to cleanse my energy and I come back with a missing toenail and a lot of pain, this is telling me something. I always believe that these things happen for a reason. So what I really realized at that moment was I need to slow down and I need to look what is right in front of me and not be with my head elsewhere again and again trying to make something work. So universe, thank you. I got the message and I went to lay down horizontally. I didn't do anything else the rest of the day. I couldn't really walk on the beach anyway. And it was a perfect excuse for me to not do anything, to not go anywhere. And so after this, like, bug and then the toenail, I was like, okay, I'm getting it. I just need to be here and I just need to relax because I'm here and I, you know, what else should I be doing? And I'm sharing this story because I know so many of you are these hardworking expats as well. I think we share many similar qualities where we subconsciously believe, even though if I tell you this, you're going to say, no. But a lot of people subconsciously believe that rest is earned after work. And that, you know, things are only worth it if we worked hard for it. It's not allowed that things are coming easy to us or that we take rest before we do the hard work. And so I really learned this lesson. And when I finally could surrender to it, I had a fucking amazing time with my friends and our families. The moment I gave up my resistance, I was there and I was enjoying myself and I felt so welcomed and so loved and we had so much fun. And it was the best holiday ever. And so I got the memo. And to me, it really felt like the crown of the or on the inner work that I've been doing the last year, where I've been really, this year hasn't been a big shift for me that much, but it has been a big internal shift. And one of the shifts that I've made this year was really about learning to rest more and learning to receive more. And to give you proof of this beautiful crown, not only did I really enjoy myself in El Salvador and had the best time and didn't want to leave after a week, I also sent out one email to one person because I had been having this idea for a new offer that I was just going to do for one or two people because I really feel 2026, I'm going to go all in and I really feel this energetic shift happening. I made a big decision. Things are going to be changing and I want to bring someone in that energy. And really work with them so closely so that 2026 becomes their best year too. For people, for expats who are ready for that big change in their life, whether it's a big bold move or a big internal shift about who they're being. And I've been thinking about this offer for a couple of weeks and I challenged myself at the live event in Arizona that I was going to send it out before the end of the year. So I've been channeling that in my head. And while I was working on the offer, I had one person in mind. She is a very long-term client, one of my favorite clients. I love working with her. She's probably listening to it, so hello. And I had her in mind when I created the offer. Just, I like to have someone in mind to direct my energy and create something that really fits for people. And I was thinking in El Salvador, let me send, or it was just around when I was leaving Arizona perhaps, and I was like, let me send it out soon. I wasn't going to send it just to her, I was going to send it out to more people. And all of a sudden I get a message from her saying, Amanda, big changes are coming for me next year, and there's only one person whose support I want. can I already buy some sessions with you again for next year? And I thought, well, I might have something better for you because this is what I'm thinking about. And she says, oh my God, I've been thinking about, I want something future-oriented as well. We've done a lot of inner work on my past, and I really feel now it's about goals and next year and who I'm becoming. So this sounds amazing. So in El Salvador, I sent this one email with, even though I had all that internal noise of, I need to be doing more, and this is a peak season for me because all the expats are questioning where they are and they want to make changes next year. I only did one email. She said yes to that email. And that email, one email, helped me hit my revenue goal for this month. I had done something just before I left, and this was the final part. And it just showed to me that the big results don't necessarily come from hard work only, or the harder you work, the bigger your results are. No. I'm really learning the lesson that the more I can lean back, the more that I can be in my own calm power and be fully confident with who I am being, the more it is coming to me. And this is the thing that I really want to give to you before we dive into the reflection questions. I'm so sorry for making this long. Where this year have you been working so hard, not leading to your results? And where can you maybe lean back a little bit yourself, start to slow down, start to rest, and start to receive with your hands open? So that is the thought that I want to leave you with. Now, for now. And by the way, now I'm in Mexico. I left El Salvador. Was sad also to leave El Salvador. Had an amazing time. Loved the country. I had been there 15 years ago as well. It has changed completely. It's really nice there. And now I'm in Mexico City. I feel, yes, part three of my workation is happening. I'm going to stay here about 9 weeks, but I also really feel a new chapter is starting. Not only because of the new year, but maybe the start of something bigger. I've been feeling the energy brewing, so I think something's going to happen in the next couple of months. Let's see. So I'm here. I'm excited. There's more that I want to share about this part, but that will be another episode. For now, I want to help you with reflection questions that help you make space for the year to come. I'm a big believer of that if you want to change things or if you want to add new things to your life, you first need to be able to let things go. You need to have the space to welcome new things in. This is the lesson that I learned. I needed to rest. I needed to create internal space so I could receive my client and the offer that I created for her. My coach trainer once told me, if you want to let things go, you first actually need to hold on to it. There's no letting go if you're not holding on to things. And so in these reflection questions, and also in the space, day one of my solo retreat, we're going to be making space by holding on to the things of the last year for a moment, just to be mindful of it, so you can intentionally let it go. So I'm going to ask you 12 questions that will hopefully make you think a little bit deeper about the last year, to help you shift your perspective, because I think a lot of us, we're so focused on the gap that's in front of us that we forget what we already achieved in the past, our progress. Like I was saying, this year I haven't had big external shifts. I had some big wins, like my first television interview and being in the in-flight magazine of my favorite airline. But when I look at the year, I'm just like, yeah, it was a fine year when I look externally. But now with my own reflections done, I'm looking at, wow, I actually made a lot of progress, but it was all internalized in internal stuff that I wasn't fully aware of until I asked myself these questions. So I want to invite you to do the same. And then in the next episode, we're going to be going deeper onto 2026 with questions for the next year. So how this works? I'm going to give you 12 questions. You can listen to me. You can pause me after every question. This is what I would suggest you to do. And really take your time to answer the questions. And what I will also do is I will put them in an email. So if you fill out the form in the show notes, you will also get the questions via email if you prefer it on paper. and just see what comes up. I think the most important thing is that you're being honest with yourself. If your intuition says something or certain words come up, and then your rational brain is going to go, but no, you cannot say it like that, or what are you talking about, or it wasn't like that. Trust that your first reaction is right, and write from there. I want to invite you to write this in your journal, not just to think about it, but also put it on paper. And I would love to hear what these questions are bringing up for you as well. You know, you can always reach out to me via DM. Some people have already done that after they got into the space and did their solo retreat. So it's always really nice for me to hear. I'm going to start with a bonus question first. It's not a question, but I want you to write down 3 wins that you are so proud of this year. And please let it include a win about who you were being. I give some of my clients this homework where I don't do things like gratitude journal. I mean, I do it, I write it down myself, but that's not the kind of homework that I give my one-on-one clients, because I think everyone talks about a gratitude journal and they're grateful. But what's really hard for them is that is celebrating who they are being. They can see their achievements in their doing, but celebrating for who they are is difficult for them. So this is the homework that I give them. So I want to give you the same homework. Write down your 3 biggest wins of this year and let one of them be about who you were being. So that is what we're going to start with. And then when you are done, or actually you can pause me now, and then I'm going to dive into the 12 questions. So the first question is, what are the first 3 words that come to mind when you think of 2025 before you explain or justify them? Again, trust the first response. Don't make it pretty. What are the 3 words that describe your 2025? I have answered this question every year for myself, and those 3 words always really reflect how the year has felt to me. So come up with your 3 words that summarize 2025. And then pause me here. I'll be moving on to the second question. Who were you at the beginning of this year? And who are you now? Who were you at the beginning of this year? And who are you now? And obviously, the next question or sub-question is, what changed beneath the surface? So what were the changes that were happening within you that generated that change in who you were being? What you can do is you can get the piece of paper and divide it into 2. And on the left, you write everything down of who you were at the beginning of this year. And on the right, you write everything down of who you are now. That gives you a clear overview as well. And then look at the difference, look at the gap, and be proud of yourself. Okay, pause me here. Question number 3. When did you feel most like yourself this year? And with yourself, I mean in your power, calm, clear, natural, authentic, in your own rhythm. So where and when did you feel most like yourself this year? And also maybe a question for you to ask yourself is, what were you doing differently in those moments? What enabled you to feel like yourself in those moments? Okay, pause me here. I am moving on to question number 4. That is the opposite of the last question. And that is, where did you feel heavy, contracted, or just off, even if things looked fine on paper? So maybe you are living the expat life and you've got officially nothing to complain about. But maybe on the inside, you didn't feel that way. So when and where did you feel heavy, contracted, or just off, not being your most authentic self? Write these down as well, because if you notice, one, you can let them go energetically by wishing them well and saying goodbye. And 2, then you also know what to avoid in the coming year. All right. Question number 5. How did the place you live in or your daily environment actually make you feel this year? Was it an environment that enabled you to be your best self, your best energetic, most authentic self? Or was it an environment or country that made you adopt a different identity, or that made you put on a mask, or that made you be in survival mode, or that made you be a weaker version of yourself, a more confined version, more watered down version. I definitely notice every time when I travel that environments have a huge impact on me. And I'm a big believer of you bring yourself wherever you go, but I'm also a believer of you need to find the right environment for you to bloom. You know, not every flower can bloom in all environments. In the desert, there are a few, I don't know, flowers, plants that grow, but many others wouldn't grow there. And so was your environment the right one for you? And if not, what can you do to change it next year? Okay. Question number 6. Where did you experience growth you're genuinely proud of? And not because it looks impressive, but because it changed you. So let's talk about the inner growth here. What is the inner growth that you are proud of? Okay. Question number 7. Pause me here if you need to. Where did you feel most challenged or stretched this year? I like these questions because it reflects your growth and it can also suggest something about going forward. Maybe what you want to avoid or how you want to do things differently, or now that you know, oh, it's in my comfort zone. So it's a nice question to add, even though the memory may not be so pleasant. So the question is, where did you feel most challenged or stretched this year? And maybe another question to add is, what did that challenge reveal about what you still care deeply about? Aha. Okay, pause me here. I'm going to continue. Question number 8. I love this question, actually. It's one I've been asking myself as well, actually a couple weeks ago already, in which enabled my big decision. But what is a decision that you kept circling around in 2025 and maybe are still circling around? So let's not look at the decisions that you've already closed the loop on. What is a decision that you have been circling around this year and still continue to do so? So a situation, a relationship, a job, a decision, a choice, a location, but something that you're thinking about, talking about, working on, but not fully choosing. So what are you circling around still? And what is this hesitation quietly costing you? This is the work we do inside the Copilot. And this is why I added this question to this year's reflections, because it is a powerful one. And for me too, it allowed for a big decision. So I would like you to think about this one as well. And let me know what your answer is. I'd love to hear, actually. Okay, I'm moving on. Question number 9. Looking back, what was really holding you back this year? Fear, loyalty, timing, comfort, other people's expectations, or not fully trusting yourself yet? So what was really holding you back this year? Let whatever first comes to mind be your answer. And take your time for it too. This is a powerful question. Question number 10. Where did you give away your power? Ah, this is one of my favorite questions. Where did you give away your power? By waiting, by over-explaining, by people-pleasing, by putting your life on hold, by going for what the mass is doing, by not saying your truth? Where did you give away your power? In what situation was it? In what context? In what relationship? In what way? And can you take back your power before the end of the year? Okay, question number 11. Another one that I love. What is one habit, rhythm, or practice that genuinely supported you this year? Something worth carrying forward. I am also a big believer of like small habits and practices that help us be our best selves, especially if you're traveling so much or you keep moving or you're in different cultures that ask you to adapt. If you have something small that you can really rely on, that really helps you to continue being your best self. So one habit for me that I started in May was definitely working out in the mornings before, like early morning, right after waking up. I had never realized it would give me that much energy throughout the day. And I always thought, let me start working early and work out later in the day. But I really realized for my body, actually, working out in the morning, I'm not the fastest runner, but it does give me the energy I crave for the rest of the day. And so that is one habit I'm definitely bringing forward with me next year. So what is one habit, rhythm, or practice that supported you in 2025? Something that you want to continue next year. All right. And then the last question, number 12. What are you still holding on to that belongs to a past version of you? An identity, a belief, or a way of living that no longer fits where you're going? So maybe you feel as well that changes are happening, or next year is going to be about something else, or you desire a change in your life. But in order to have that change happen, let that change be good, have that change, let that change be sustainable, often we also need to become a different version of ourselves. So what are you now still holding on to that belongs to a past version of you that no longer fits to where you're going? If I answer that question myself, it's definitely around my relationships, although that is one of the big energetic shifts that I've been feeling in the last couple of weeks. But if you asked me this question like 2 months ago, yeah, I could recognize what that was, because I was still acting according to a belief that really isn't aligned with the version who I'm becoming right now. So ask this question for yourself as well. What are you still holding on to that belongs to a past version of you that no longer fits where you're going? All right, these were the questions. I will put a link in the show notes for you to get them in email as well, if you prefer them on screen. Otherwise, you can just start writing about it in your journal and pause me every time, but I will make them available to you. And if you enjoyed these questions, this is exactly the kind of work that we do in Space, my do-it-yourself solo retreat. But it's not just endless journaling, because yes, it will give you a lot and the insight, and I personally love journaling. I can do it for days in a row, but you also really want to let things go, and just writing about it doesn't fully do that. You also need something else, different tools that aren't coming from the rational brain that can really help you release those things and create the space for the change that you desire in 2026. So that is exactly the reason why my solo retreat, The Space, day one is completely about reflection, looking back and letting go and releasing. I called it a fireplace, like you're sitting around this cozy fireplace, just, you know, thinking about everything that happened to you and letting go as you see the fire burning it all for you, basically. And so I put in some powerful reflection questions there, but also audios to help you let go of things with an exercise I've done myself a couple of times, visualization, and has really allowed me to let things go, or people actually. And I'm also sending you out on a walk. Like, it isn't just endless writing. I had a lot of fun putting this all together for you. The Space is available for only for a couple more days, because I'm going to close the doors probably maybe New Year's Eve, or maybe around like early January, because I feel this is really, it's really potent for the time that we are in now. And I want to make it available for this timing, and doors will open again next December, so in a year from now. So if you feel like, okay, I do want to do more with this, these reflection questions already helped me to go deeper, I'm ready for more, this is your time to get into the space. Once you're in, you have forever access to it. So you can do this do-it-yourself retreat any time of the year. Maybe you want to do it around your birthday or in September, which is another like powerful moment to look at your life and let things go and start something new. So if you feel like that, the space is for you right now. You can get in for just 199 euros and you keep forever access. So you can do this retreat anytime this year and all the years to come. And you can also really make it your annual anchor, just like I'm doing for myself, which has allowed me change after change. All right, I will be back in the next episode with questions for the year to come. So bring your journal and let me know via DM how this has been serving you. I would love to hear. Send it to your expat friends. Let's make this community bigger. And I'll see you in the next episode. Bye-bye.